I'm doing something tonight that's different, but I believe it will bless you. I believe it's what the Lord has for us tonight. We have the discipleship program at our church. Some of the folks have been through that. Some of you have been disciplers, where you're helping somebody through. And right now, I'm discipling two men. I've discipled people before. And in the process of doing the lessons the last couple of weeks, I have come into one lesson particular that just blesses me and encourages me every time I teach it. And every time I teach the lesson, I just sense God's power show up in the room. I sense learning on the part of the disciplee as they grow in their walk with the Lord. And I thought, man, if it's good for them, it'll be good for the whole church. So we have a book that we do for discipleship. It's called Daily in the Word. It's written by Mr. Honeycutt. It's a great book. Many of you have seen it. And there's a lesson in here tonight that I want to teach you. And I want you to write it down. I want you to take notes on it. I want you to write down the passages that I'm going to give to you. And use them, file them, keep them close to you, keep them in your Bible. Wherever you do your daily quiet time, you need to keep this piece of paper that I'm going to give you tonight. The lesson is really dealing with the truth of overcoming sin. And I want you to write that down as the title tonight, Overcoming Sin. And this is a lesson that whether you're newly saved or you've been saved for many years, this lesson has application for you. So don't think that you're so spiritual that you don't sin. Amen. All right. I'll prove that to you in just a moment, that no one is without sin. If you ever go through the program or you disciple somebody, you find that this lesson on overcoming sin falls in the category of discipling, which is called on the subject of prayer. And so it's teaching us how to develop our prayer life. Matter of fact, the book teaches us as a guide through the Lord's Prayer and certain things. And then right in the middle of this section is this lesson on overcoming sin. It's a little bit strange that it's in the prayer section, but when you read Psalm 66, verse number 18, I think you will understand how fitting it is inside of this session, or inside of this section. Psalm 66, verse 18, you probably have this underlined in your Bible or highlighted in your Bible. If not, you should. The verse reads, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will," what class? Not hear me. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I have unconfessed sin in my life, that hinders the ability for God to hear and answer my prayers apart from the prayer of repentance or the prayer of confession. So sometimes in the human mind, we want to just, well, I failed yesterday, so I'll just go forward today. But let me tell you something. There's no going forward until our failure is put under the blood of Jesus. Okay, so what we need to understand, and one of the reasons of what we're doing when we teach somebody and discipling them, is that you cannot have unconfessed sin and have an effective prayer life. Now, an effective prayer life is vital for God's child. I hope and pray that you have an effective prayer life. One that God is hearing and answering your prayer. And so this lesson here teaches us how to deal with these subjects. And it answers two important questions. I want you to write these down. As a Christian, why do I still sin? As a Christian, why do I still sin? Second question would be, how do I overcome sin in my life? As a Christian, why do I still sin? Now, I don't know about you, but I hate sin. If you do, say amen. All right? And I hate it when I do sin. In the moment, I'm sure that I don't mind it. In the moment, I can rationalize whatever. But really and truthfully, God hates sin. And when you know the Lord, you don't want to sin anymore. Matter of fact, if you were to go to the book of Romans teaches us that now that we have the grace of God, that we should not continue in sin. I'm going to touch on this in just a little bit. So sometimes as a person is saved and they're growing in the Lord and they're being discipled and they're going forward, and they run into the hindrance of their own sin. And sometimes people can think, well, I'm saved and so I won't sin anymore. That's not true. Okay? Just because you've been saved does not mean that you're not going to have sin in your life. Now, hallelujah, praise God, when you got saved, all of your sin has been forgiven. Amen? Okay? So when you got saved, all the past sin that you had committed, all the present sin of your life, and the future sin of your life was all put under the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for you as a sinner. Now, when I am saved and I sin, then I can take those individual sins and I can wash them in the blood of Christ and get my relationship restored and get my fellowship restored in my life. But as a Christian, why do I still sin is a question that I get often. And so I want to show you some things. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and learn something about yourself tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, and pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. Are you there? Okay. Verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, that word quicken is the word made alive. And he's speaking here in chapter 2, verse number 1, to Christians. And he's saying, to the Christian, you were made alive out of the deadness of the trespass and your sin. That's what happened when you got saved. Your spirit was birthed or born again by the Spirit of God, and you were made alive in Christ. Verse number 2. Wherein, or in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So before I got saved, my life, I walked according to the prince and the power of the air, and I walked according to the spirit, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was me prior to being saved. Verse number 3. Among whom also, in that same position, we all, for all have sinned, we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past, in the what class? Lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So before I got saved, all I knew was to satisfy my lust and my flesh. That was the manner of my life. I did not know righteousness, nor did I even have a desire for righteousness, but I was slaved to my flesh, to the lust of that. So if I wanted whatever the flesh wanted, I lusted after it, and I would follow after that. So did you. Pick up in verse number 3, and he gives the reason why. The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by, say that word, nature. Circle that word. Highlight that word. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what Paul is teaching the believers at Ephesus is, prior to being saved, I walked according to the prince of the air. I satisfied my flesh and my lust. That was the drive of my life because that was the nature of my life. We call it the sin nature. If you know you have a sin nature, say amen. Where'd you get it from? You're born with it. Who started it? Adam. So I was born with a sin nature, okay? Now, what you need to understand about that is that that nature was driven by the flesh and really attained through lust. And so the sinful nature, that drive of that lust to the flesh, that is in our humanity, and there's nobody ever born that does not have that. Matter of fact, he says that it was the nature of the children of wrath, even as others. I love verse number 4. What are the first two words of verse number 4? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great what? Love, wherein he loved us. Now, even though I was born with a nature that was really devilish in its origin, and selfish and lustful, and a nature that was filled with disobedience, that was totally apart from God, God still loved me. The love of God is amazing. Okay? Now, what happened to you when you got saved? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Come on, it's Bible study. I should hear pages going. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. You might know this verse. I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in, say his name, Christ, he is a, what are those two words? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the day that you got saved, the day that Christ indwelt you through his spirit, you were created new, or you were changed. How did that happen? Well, 1 John chapter 3, powerful verses in 1 John chapter 3. Mind-blowing verse is 1 John chapter 3. Please make your way there. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 7. Now, I'm answering the question, as a Christian, why do I still sin? 1 John chapter 3, verse number 7. Little children, that's you and me, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is, what are those three words? Of the devil. Now hang in here with me and let me explain these verses to you. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. Verse number 9. Mind-blowing. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin? Well, Pastor, I'm born of God, but I still sin sometimes. The Bible says if I'm born of God, I won't sin. No. Verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his, what's that word? Seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is what class? Born of God. Now, when you were conceived through the seed of your dad. Okay? That is how the sin nature has been passed down through humanity. Okay? That's why Jesus came and the Holy Spirit put him inside of Mary. He had not the seed of a human. It was that work of the Holy Ghost. All right? So the same way that human seed is the passing down of the sinful nature, when you got saved, you were created a new creature. You were now given a new nature. That word seed is the word nature. Now, because a Christian has within them this nature of Christ, he or she can no longer live a life of habitual sin. If you truly have God in you, you cannot live a life of habitual sin. Okay? Because the Spirit of God will not settle for that. The Spirit of God must rise up in conviction and all that the Bible says. So anybody that says, well, I'm a Christian, and they have a habitual life of sin without any fruit, they can profess all they want to, but they do not possess. So when I was born a sinner, I was born with that carnal or that sinful nature that came through Adam. When I got saved, I was created new. The Spirit of God brings to me the nature of God or the righteousness of God. Look, if you would, at verse number 10, same chapter. In this, the children of God are manifest or made known. And the children of the devil are made known. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of who class? God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay. So, Pastor, why do I still sin? I'm a Christian, but I still sin. You must understand, you have a sinful nature. And then a Christian has the nature of Christ. Now, when I got saved, I now possess two natures. Two natures. And both of those natures are inside of me. Both of those natures have the same goal, to be in charge. So both of those natures want first place. Both of those natures want to be the one that leads my life. Now, the natures are at enmity with each other. The natures have a war or a contrary one to another. When one rises up, the other one wants to rise up. So understanding yourself then, James chapter 1, verse number 14 says that the greatest temptation that a man has is from his own evil heart or desires. So I, inside my body, have two natures. When will you only have one nature? Heaven. As long as you have flesh, a human body, the sinful nature is entrapped inside your body. When you die, and your spirit and your soul are ushered into the presence of God, and that body rots back to that dust, when the Lord Jesus comes, and the Lord Jesus comes, and your body is raised incorruptible, and your body is raised immortal, and that body is raised glorified, that body will reunite, that glorious body, sinless body, that's not under the condemnation of sin, will reunite, and we shall know the fullness of our salvation, and we will be without the sin nature. And God's people should say, thank you, God. But now, you need to understand yourself. So I have two natures in me. You ever got a good look at your old nature? Pretty ugly, isn't he? Pretty wicked, isn't he? Your old nature can think things and do things and say things and connive things that are putrid. That's how wicked my old nature is. That's still in you as a Christian. Now, Romans chapter 6 says it does not have to have dominion over you, because the new nature of Christ is able to mortify our old nature. Amen. But the old Indian said, I feel like I got two dogs in me. And there's a war going on inside of me. And the guy said, well, who wins? And the old Indian said, whatever dog I feed the most. You understand that? So why do I still sin, Pastor? Because you have two natures. Now, the more you grow in the nature of Christ, the more you recognize your old nature, the more you love the nature of Christ, the more you hate your old nature. Amen? Okay. So then if I have two natures in me, and I don't want the old nature to be in control of my life, but I feel that contrary, I feel that battle every day, How do I regulate this, Pastor? How am I able to avoid that? How am I able to overcome that? Go, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We'll start there. You better understand that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you've lost that old nature. You better fear that old nature. You better understand that old nature has a desire and a drive to rule and reign in your life. And it will not relent until it is mortified. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine what? Heart, that I might not sin against thee. How are you going to overcome sin? You must hide God's word in your heart. What does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? Brother Honeycutt said it means to internalize the Word of God, to take it in. It means that it's taken so deep within you that it affects your thinking, which then in turn affects your behavior. You see, as I'm hiding God's Word in my heart, that word is building my faith. That word is building upon the nature of Christ. And that word is affecting my thinking. That word is drawing me to the precious Savior. It then begins to affect my behavior. And then my old nature begins to fall under the authority or under the suppression or the reign of the Word of God in my life. You will never have victory over that old nature without God's Word. So do you read the Bible? Do you memorize the Bible? Do you hate the besetting sins of your life? The only way you are honest with that is by how much time you spend in God's Word. Don't tell anybody, yourself, me, anybody, God, that I hate my sin and I want to be free from it and then not be in God's Word. It's impossible. You're deceiving yourself. John 17, the Gospel of John 17. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. This is Jesus' prayer. He's praying for us, ultimately. Immediate context, he's praying for the disciples. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what class? Truth. So as I'm hiding God's word in my heart and I'm internalizing, I'm meditating, I'm submitting to that, it's affecting my thinking, which in turn is affecting my behavior. And by the way, your thought process is so important to your actions. Every day, according to this verse, I must allow the word of God to sanctify me from the world. And so as I'm the word of God is building in my heart, it's setting me apart unto the Lord. It's setting me apart away from the world. It's setting me apart into the beauty and glory of the nature of Christ. And the more that I'm in the word of God, and the word of God is washing over me, and the word of God is finding lodging and a foundation upon my life, the more that I'm being exalted in that, then the more that my mind is being changed, and as my mind is being changed, the more my behavior is being changed. And it's not long that now my life begins to reflect the nature of Christ as the Word of God fills me. If the Word of God is not filling you, there's no way for your life to reflect the nature of Christ. So now my life is going to begin to reflect the old nature. And I don't want my life to reflect the old nature. I want my life to bring glory to the Lord. Go to 1 John chapter 2, all the way back in the back. 1 John chapter 2. Don't lose me now. We got about 15 more minutes. You can do it. Do some finger exercises. You'll be fine. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong. Now watch this at the end of verse 14. And the word of God abideth where? And ye have, what's that word? Overcome the wicked one. So if I'm going to know victory over the wicked one, I must let the word of God, allow that word of God to overcome the enemy in my life. I must allow the word of God to enable me to know an overcoming. It won't be because I make promises. It won't be because I have accountability partners. It won't be because I've got every evil thing out of my house. You understand, evil is within us. So what are you going to do? Kick your own self out of the house? Evil went with you. So it's kind of like we set all these parameters up, but the reality is, it's the power of the word of God that enables the overcoming of the wicked one. So, Pastor, why do I still sin? Because you got two natures in you. And if you allow that old nature to rise up, you can do anything an unsaved person can do. If I let that old nature rise up, I can do anything an unsaved person can do, as putrid as it might be. Now, because I'm saved, I shouldn't be able to do it very long, because the Spirit of God should convict me, the hand of God should punish me, and I should want to repent. Amen? Okay. So why do I still do it? Well, realize you got two natures. Well, how do I get victory? Well, victory is not something you're going to get through your own ability. Victory is going to be something that the Word of God is going to bring to you. And victory is also going to be something that the Spirit of God brings to you. Boy, where do I want you to go? Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Learn these truths about the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, look if you would at verse number 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Speaking to the Christian here. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So the deeds of my body are sinful deeds because my body is enslaved to that old nature and to that flesh. And so now that I'm saved and I have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, I have the new nature, the Spirit of God has the ability or the power, praise the Lord, to mortify the deeds of my body. That word mortified is to drain the life out of them. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And by the way, he gives great life. So what happens is, as the Word of God is empowering my life, the Spirit of God is enabling my life, through the Spirit of God, the power of that old nature can be drained out. And it no longer has to reign over me. That's what Paul said when he said, let not sin reign in your mortal body. And so as I'm submitted to the Spirit of God, I must allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to mortify the deeds of my body and to renew my mind. Now go to Galatians chapter 5. Hope you're writing these down in order. Galatians chapter 5. Let me give you evidence of this. Bless you. Verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. So I've got two natures, both wanting to be lead. And I don't have the power to overcome my old nature. All I had was the faith to receive the new nature. Now the Spirit of God has power over my old nature. So as I walk or submit myself or am filled with the Spirit of God, he enables me not to walk in the lust of the flesh. He enables me now through him to mortify or drain the life out of my old man. Then I can know victory in the Lord. Not through my ability, but through him. So the same way that you got to be in the Word of God, I got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Walking with the Spirit every day. If I try to live the Christian life in my own ability, I will fail. So will you. Colossians gets better and better. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, those are the things of our lives that are to be mortified. Put to death, drained out of. I can't do that on my own, but the Spirit of God, the Word of God, can enable me to do that. Verse number 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell where? In you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with the grace in your heart to the Lord. So as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and the Word of Christ is dwelling in me richly. And then, as you see that in verse number 16, what begins? I begin to learn, I begin to grow, I begin to be admonished. Worship begins to spring forth. And man, I'm singing, and with grace in my heart to the Lord. I'm single-minded, I'm going in a direction there. And that old man has lost its power over me. Praise his holy name. Unless you give it to him. So the moment you're not in the Word, and the moment you're not filled with the Spirit of God, and the moment that you're not mortifying through the Spirit of God, basically what you have done is you've just opened up the door for that old nature under the influence of the enemy to rise up and take control of your life. Most of our defeats is not because Satan kicked our tail. It's because we surrendered our victory. Satan is not stronger than our Lord. It's comforting to say, yeah, Satan beat me on that one. No, he didn't. You opened up the door and let him walk all over into your life. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Hurry, and I got 50 more minutes and I got to squeeze it in 10. Luke 6, 46. I don't know if you ever heard this verse or not. Jesus said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Will you just let your eyes fall on that verse a second? Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? What a verse. God says, you call me Lord. Why don't you do what I say? See, we must be spending time daily in God's Word, but we also must be obeying the Word of God. Why do I sin? Because I have two natures. And I surrender my ability to know victory when I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, when I'm not letting the Word of Christ dwell in me, when I'm not obeying the Word of God. As you obey the Word of God, your lifestyle will reflect the teaching of the Word of God and the character of Christ. Amen. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall be okay. Is that what your Bible says? I sure hope not. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what, class? I don't know about you, but I thank God for mercy. See, as God's child, you must accept responsibility and acknowledge that sometimes we sin. We must acknowledge that our sin hinders our prayers and our closeness to God. Through the prayer of salvation, your sins are all forgiven, but now as God's child, you admit your guilt and repent of the sin so you can be cleansed. Listen, you cannot have an effective prayer life and commune with God and have God's power on your life if you have unconfessed sin in your life. It separates and hinders. If you try to cover it, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. But if I bring it to God and say, God, forgive me and cleanse me, He will give us mercy. Amen. David said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. John said, if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. you're here tonight and you know you have unconfessed sin in your life, you should ask God in prayer to forgive and cleanse you, not to be saved, but to break the power of sin you have allowed in your life, to have a close relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's available for you. He writes this. I love this. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that you are taking out of your life those things that are not pleasing to God. And you're adding to your life things that are pleasing to Him. Taking out and adding in. Pastor, I have unconfessed sin in my life. You're not going to go forward till it gets forgiven and under the blood. Pastor, why do I sin? Because you got two natures. And you need to understand that. Now, your old nature was defeated by Christ. And the Spirit of God will give victory over that. But you got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to let the Word of God do that. You got to position yourself through the power of the Spirit so that not you, Tom, but the Spirit of God can drain the life out of that old nature. Aren't you glad you've been made free from your old nature? And if I try to drain the life out of that, no. So if I'm not this, I just open up the door for the enemy to just let that old nature rise up, and then I'm capable of doing anything. And then we know failure, we know problems, we know difficulties, we lose our ability to pray. And this is what a discipler of Christ does. He has understanding of all of this. And then he makes application in his life. So he gives a little bit of application here. It's kind of fascinating. You're never going to get all these written down, but if you contact me, I'll give them to you. He says, to help you continue to mature in your Christian life, you need to establish some practices right away. Number one, do not allow sinful thoughts to control your mind. Your mind should be controlled by the Word of God. Do not go to places or be with people that make it easy for you to sin. Why would you do that? Number three, be aware of the tactics of Satan that point you in the wrong direction. Unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, anger, selfishness. Be in the Word of God every day and actively communicate with God throughout each day. That means you're in a season of prayer. Find verses in the Word of God to help you with your weakness. Ask somebody to help you get verses that you can replace. See, what happens is our mind gets a thought, and a thought that we shouldn't dwell on, but we don't know how to replace that thought with the Word of God. That's why you got to hide God's Word in your heart. So when that thought comes, I can arrest that thought and say, no, no, that thought's of the enemy. I'm going to replace that thought with the Word of God, and I'm going to meditate on the Word of God instead of meditating on that sinful thought, because my thoughts affect my behavior. Powerful. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you and walk with you in the Lord, with the Lord. And then he makes this statement. This is great. We're done. We have, as believers, the incredible opportunity to know God through His Word and through communicating with Him. He wants our lives to have peace and joy, which comes from a life that is consistent with biblical truth. So I ask you this question. Do you have peace and joy in your life? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? If you have peace and joy in your life, then you probably are walking with the Lord, filled with the Spirit of God, and you have a short sin account as far as that, and you understand what it is to be a disciple, and you know that it's awesome walking with the Lord. Amen? But if you don't have peace and joy, you need to realize, I got two natures in me. I've been letting this stupid nature over here drive my life. That nature was defeated at the cross, robbed of its power by the empty tomb. I'm a new person in Christ. I don't have to live that way. I can know peace and joy. Praise the Lord. Tell you, that discipleship program's got some great lessons in it. They help us, shall we pray?